It's great to see you all. Blessed to be with you. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about the blessed man. The blessed man. The theme scripture for the conference was, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And as I was thinking of David, and then he exhorts to remember all of God's benefits. How we've been forgiven of all of our iniquities. How we have been blessed from diseases. He's healed us of all of our diseases. And He's protected our lives from destruction, from being destroyed. Many of you should be destroyed. And how He's filled your mouth with good things. How He's blessed you, provided for you. I don't know if you've starved. The Lord has kept you alive. So let's open in our Bibles to Psalms 1. And, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul. We can bless the Lord because we've been blessed by the Lord. And I think, you know, Pastor Scott, he wants you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. That's our desire. It's for you to leave here blessed, refreshed, blessing the Lord. But I believe that in order for you to be blessing the Lord, you have to first be blessed by the Lord. This is why you love the Lord. You love the Lord because He first loved you. And you chose the Lord because He first chose you. And He ordained that you would bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And so the Lord blesses us so we can bless Him and we can bless other people. Go home and the places He's directed us to bless people. So we're going to look a little bit today at this Psalm 1, where we have the blessed person defined in the first three verses. And there's a contrast to this psalm between the blessed person, he's defined, she's defined the person, and then the ungodly person that's contrasted. And they're defined as well. And in the first three verses, the blessed person is defined. Blessed. Let's read the psalm, and then we're going to pray together. Let's read it through. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord intimately knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we thank You for Your great grace. We thank You for Your great love. We thank You for Your favor, that You look upon us favorably. And Lord, we ask now Your blessing upon Your word, that You would encourage us, comfort us, exhort us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the psalm begins with the word, "Blessed is the man." And you might ask, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed and to be a blessed man means that you have favor with God. It means that when God looks at your life, He approves of you. When He looks at you, He smiles. He agrees with you. He agrees with your life. He agrees the way you're going, the path that you're on, the direction that you're going. He approves of you. Now, there's a difference between being happy or happiness, the pursuit of happiness, and being blessed. Happiness is not enough, really. The pursuit of happiness is really not enough. It's the pursuit of blessedness that I seek. See, to be happy is an emotion. I feel happy. And it's really about my happenings. I feel happy if everything is okay. I feel happy if everything's going good at the church, if the elders are, okay, and there's people coming, and there's money flowing, and my marriage is good, and my wife agrees with me. I'm happy. I feel so happy. It's about our circumstances. But you can be a happy person and a very ungodly person. I know many people that are very ungodly, but they're very happy people because their happenings are great. I mean, they got beach homes and they're both driving Mercedes and they got healthy kids and just everything, and they're the happiest people. You can almost look at these folks and say, envy them. They're very happy. But to be blessed means that God looks at you and He approves of your life. And that's a big difference. Now, there's often an element of happiness when you are blessed by the Lord, but it doesn't have to do with your circumstances. It has to do with your position with Christ. He looks at you and He says, I approve of Dan Crespo. I approve of you. And it doesn't matter if your circumstances are bad. It has nothing to do with it, really. You could be shipwrecked. You can be beaten with rods. You can be thrown into prison. And the Lord says, He's a blessed man. I approve of that person's life, the path that they're on, the direction that they're going. So this is what the blessed man and how they're defined. It's about favor with God. And they know that God is favorable towards them because they experience it. And this is what we really need more than the pursuit of happiness, is this blessed relationship. What does God think about me? Pastor Bill shared a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he boiled his life down to one question. He said, this is really the only thing that matters. If there's only one question that's important. And he said, and I agree with him, what is the will of God? What is the will of God for my life? For my marriage? For where I live? What country I live? What car I drive? What the ministry? What is the will of God? And this is what this psalm is really about. The person that's living on this path. And that's all that really matters to them. Is, what would you have me to do, Lord? I'll do whatever you want. I'll do it your way. Despite circumstances. And as Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake in the gospel. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in San Juan. No. Blessed. And Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested there. I'm going to be delivered up to the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. And Paul said, what are you making me, trying to make me cry? I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to go there. He's a blessed man. A picture, a model of blessedness. So, then the description of the blessed man and three things that they avoid. So the blessed man, the psalm begins, it's a song, it's a it begins with defining the blessed man in a negative way, what he does not do. And the first thing is, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He avoids ungodly counsel. Oh, I mean, we've been here for a while, right? Humanity, and there's libraries filled with books and all kinds of everything you could imagine. Every kind of philosophy in life. And the world is yelling at us, constantly telling us, this is how you need to live. This is how you need to be. You need to be a citizen of the state. You need, you know, you need to believe like this, and you need to have these values, and so on and so forth. The blessed man, he doesn't walk in this kind of counsel of what people are telling him, what the unbeliever is telling them. And he realizes that they don't know. The government really doesn't know. People, unbelievers really don't know. The ungodly, really, they don't know what life's about. Come on. And if you're going to listen to their counsel, and you're listening to bad counsel, you're going to end up wrong. It's going to end up bad for you if you're on the wrong path. We need to avoid ungodly counsel. Coming to these meetings is so important for us to hear good counsel, godly counsel, to be blessed by the Lord, to hear His Word and His Holy Spirit anointing His Word and speaking right to us and into our situation. This is why the Holy Spirit, He is really the discipler. He comes alongside of us, and He never leaves you, no matter where you go on the planet. And Jesus said this would be true. It's so important that the Holy Spirit comes. Because wherever you go, I'll be with you, and I'll be able to direct you and counsel you and guide you, comfort you, encourage you. Everything you need to stay in my will. I remember being at a meeting. It was at the church, and there was a young lady who was just, the Lord saved her. And we were having a believers meeting. And she, a word of knowledge came forth, and someone said by the Spirit that there's a young woman here, a married woman, and she's receiving counsel, bad counsel. And the Lord wants you to know that whoever you're receiving counsel from, it's bad counsel. And so I said, well, that's pretty direct. So I want to see who that person is, if that's a true word of the Lord. And so I said, okay, is there someone here, a young woman here? And she was trembling, and she raised her hand, and she said, yeah, it's me. She's a young believer. She had a bad marriage, and she's at work, and some older woman was filling her mind with all this worldly counsel on how to deal with her husband. And the Holy Spirit protected her because she was, you know, gave her heart to the Lord. And it's so important that we gather like this. And you know, God has designed it that we need one another, that there has to be submission. And there's always that enemy, the attacking. Don't listen to the counsel of the Lord. Don't go to these meetings. Don't go to those conferences. And yet, so often, the Holy Spirit wants to speak right to you. And He's chosen so that you need one another. And you can't be all proud. I don't need to hear. I don't need to be with the body. I hear from the Lord directly. And yeah, we do hear from the Lord directly. But you know, have to avoid ungodly counsel. That's the first thing. They don't listen to bad advice. Then the second thing, the blessed man, he avoids standing with sinners. This morning, I was having breakfast in the hotel, and there was a news report on, and there was Mayor Bloomberg, mayor of New York City. And he was officiating a marriage between two men. And these two middle-aged men had their children there and everything. And he's sitting there, and he's a Jew. He knows, he should know the Word of God. He should know what God says. But he's standing on the wrong side of the issue. He's standing with sinners. And it's even worse when people that claim to be Christians do that. A while ago, my wife and I were watching a news program. And it was so sad because it was in San Francisco. They passed this curriculum in the school district for transgender people and, you know, homosexual people. And this was a curriculum for kindergartners. They wanted to introduce this in the kindergarten. And so as you can imagine, you know, some parents were upset, and then they showed the courtroom and they showed the school board. And the place was packed, and there was all these guys in there kissing and women in there kissing. It was just disgusting. And they won. This curriculum with two male penguins. And the male penguins have a little child, and crazy curriculum. But what was really sad was that after the vote and after their interviewing the people that were inside the court or the school board, there was one guy who says, "I'm Christian." They interviewed him. He said, "I'm Christian. And I believe this is the best thing." And he's siding with these folks, and he's claiming, "I love Jesus, and Jesus loves everybody." And we need to have this acceptance and diversity. The guy is standing on the wrong side of the issue. A blessed person doesn't do that. Stand on the wrong side of the issue. You say, well, what is a sinner here? Because, I mean, the Bible doesn't say all have sinned. The sinner that he's talking about here is the type of sinner. He's godless. He doesn't believe in the Lord. And that he promotes his sin. They advocate it. They're not they want to force it on everybody else. They're proud of their sin. They love their sin. There's a difference between a person like that and you. You see, if you're a blessed person, you hate sin. You confess your sins. Matter of fact, if there was a button that you could press that you would not sin anymore, you would have pressed it a long time ago. And one of those moments of deep repentance where you're weeping before the Lord and saying, "Oh God, change me. I don't want to do this anymore. Why do I do what I do and I don't want to do? Oh God, who shall deliver me? Who, Lord, deliver me?" You would have pressed that button. These people wouldn't press the button. And you, standing on this side, you know, the blessed man doesn't do that. And the third thing that the blessed man doesn't do, he doesn't sit with scorners. Well, that means a scoffer. A scoffer is a person who takes the things of the Lord and things that should be serious, and he makes jokes out of them. He thinks it's a big joke. He laughs at the Bible. He laughs at heaven. He laughs at the cross. He's a person that mocks. Well, the blessed man doesn't hang around with people like this. You can witness to people like this, but you don't hang around with people like this. Even if they're in your family. Amen. Person that thinks it's a big joke. The things of the Lord is a big joke. But then in verse 2 it tells us what the blessed man pursues. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. So the blessed person described as a person who loves the Word of God, the law of the Lord being the Torah, but for us it's the whole Bible. We meditate upon the law of the Lord. That means that there's a musing, that you mumble the Word of God to yourself as you're thinking about it. And you're meditating you know, regurgitating the scriptures over and over in your mind and dwelling in the scriptures and what God has said about this. What does God say about this situation, the circumstance, and the church? What should we do? And we know that the Bible is God's Word, and that's a unique book like none other. The Word of God. Is like, not like a cookbook or a science book or a mathematic book where you have information that the author wants to communicate. And so you read the book and you get information about cooking, or you get information about how to build decks, or how to do construction, or how to be an engineer. You go to school and you get all this information. The author is communicating this information. With the Bible's a book where the author actually meets with you. It's the only book like that. Where when you sat before the Lord, He actually comes to you and He speaks to you. The one who wrote the book will begin to explain it to you and direct you. You actually meet with Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and illuminates His Word to you. And as you know, you've experienced the voice of the Lord, Him telling you and Him confirming to you, Him speaking to you and Him meeting with you. It's just joy unspeakable. They're full of glory. You can't, you know, it's just the most wonderful thing. The entrance of God's Word when He opens it to us. And the blessed person has experienced this, and he meditates upon God's Word. What do you say, Lord? Day and night, they're blessed people. That's the path that they're on. That's what they pursue, is to know the Lord, to know His Word, to what is the will of God. And this is the person that has God's favor, man. And you know it. You know that God is with you. He does such wonderful things in your life. He speaks to you. He answers your prayers. He gives you such clarity. There's not all this confusion in your life. Where should I go? What should I do? Where should I live? What should I do? Not that we don't go through times like that. And God, you know, works in us that way. But man, His Word, He quickens you. He quickens you by His Word. He directs you. The other day I was, we're in the middle of doing some remodeling, and so I'm sort of like a general contractor right now at the church. I've been working and working and working. 60 days, 2 months straight without a day off, just working 14-hour days, 12-hour days. My hands are all cut up. My shoulders jacked up, and I'm just going, and I'm having fun doing it. But I was in a bad mood, cranky. My wife is a little bit, you know, missing me after 2 months of, I guess if you're deployed, it's probably, you know. And so I had to do a wedding. I have to do weddings and funerals between work. So as I was, there was a wedding, and so I really didn't even want to go. I just wanted to keep working. But anyway, I did it. And so she wanted to sort of make a date because I had a suit on and everything. And she, you know, she wants to make a date out of it after the wedding. And so she says, I'm hungry, and we go to a restaurant, and I'm in a bad mood, really. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm cranky, and so I'm really not good company. And just, it was just, I ordered my food, and it was just terrible, horrible. It was bad service. So I lost my appetite, and so I just was sort of ruining her evening. I wasn't really trying to ruin her evening, but I just was ruining her evening. It's just one of those things. No matter what I said, no matter what, it just wasn't right, I guess. So, you know, the server, when I asked him, you know, I just did, what's wrong with your food? I just, I'm not hungry. So, anyway, when I go to leave, I'm checking out, and then, you know, I get the bill and tip. And the guy didn't give us very good service at all. And I'm like, I shouldn't give this man a tip because he didn't give me good service at all. It was terrible service. And as I was looking at the bill, the Holy Spirit said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And I thought, Lord, okay, I'll give him a regular tip. That doesn't mean much, but that's the type of thing that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaks to you. And even in those small things, He wants obedience. He wants you to do it His way. He wants you to, you know, just walk in His path, what He has. And that's what they pursue, the blessed person, thinking about the Word of God and repeating it to yourself. And then so in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is what he pursues. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. And then what he receives, the blessed man, in verse 3. He's like a tree planted beside the rivers of water which bring forth fruit in its season. So the blessed person is, the Bible, God describes him as a tree. It's a picture, it's an image of the godly person, the blessed person. They're like a tree. Funny how the picture that is given, this illustration of this blessed person. You might ask, why is it that we are described as a tree here? Well, there's at least three reasons. The first one is that this person who's pursuing this, pursuing the Lord and His Word, is strong. They're strong. A tree is strong. You get a 50-year-old mango tree, and you can get 10 strong young men, and you can push on that tree, and it ain't going to fall. And you can pull on that tree, and it ain't going to fall. And this is what is the progression of the blessed person. In this life, they become strong. Spiritually, they become strong. You can get a strong pastor. I think of Pastor Bill when I think of this verse. He's a strong man. You can get 10 young pastors to try to push him down. You ain't going to push him down. He's a strong man in the Lord. Meditates. And he's not going to fall. They're not going to fall. I look at Pastor Chuck and Pastor Mike McIntosh, and man, they've been through so much. We get hurricanes in Puerto Rico, and you can see, after a hurricane, you can see all the weak trees and then you see these massive, strong trees that are 50, 60, 70 years old. They've been through 10 hurricanes, and they're still standing. Pastor Bill said that to me the other day, the last man standing. That's true. The last man standing. But the blessed person is a strong person like a tree. And you become strong, not in your own strength, but in the Lord and in the power of His might. Secondly, we're like trees because a tree is being nourished in an unseen way through its roots. It's drawing its nourishment, its food, its water in a way that you don't really see. It's all down underneath, which is a picture of the blessed person who has a personal devotional life with the Lord, is walking with the Lord, drawing his strength from his word through prayer, through communion with the Holy Spirit. You're drawing your life, your spiritual life. People can't really see it, but this is why we're likened to a tree. And the third thing, the blessed man is bearing fruit. Shall bear fruit. And you'll see people that are blessed, they're bearing fruit for the Lord. You'll actually see them even when the Lord first saves them. As young Christians, they're bearing fruit. And they're bearing fruit when they're old. Still bearing fruit. More fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. More love, serving, involved. And the blessed person is a fruit bearer. You're going to bear fruit. And you're going to keep bearing fruit. From the time, that the Lord saves you to the time He removes you, you're just about Jesus. You're about serving the Lord. And this is why we're like trees, this picture, this illustration, because of the strength that a person gains through the Lord and because of their secret life, their personal life with the Lord, being nourished by the Lord. So all these storms and hurricanes come, but you just keep standing because the Lord upholds you. He's not going to let you fall. He approves of you. He says, you know, this guy's on my side. I'm not going to let no one do what they plan. Actually, the trap will spring on them. And you don't want that. But, you know, the Lord will protect you. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, this is a mind blower, that he'll control a government. He'll control a utility company. He'll control whatever, a storm, that it would not touch you. You're going to bear fruit. So then in verse 4, the ungodly man is defined, contrasting to the blessed man. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So the ungodly, the man that's without God, he's defined here as like chaff. Now, those of you that are young here, younger guys, might not know what chaff is. Chaff is the kakara. You know, it's the part of, you know, grain. There's the grain part, and then there's the chaff that is taken off the grain so that the grain is usable, could be made, you know, you could make food, bread, whatever. But the chaff would be something that's not, it's contrasting to the tree. The tree is stable, strong, bearing fruit. But the chaff, he says, the ungodly are not so. They're not like trees. They're going to be cut down someday. They're, as far as God is concerned, the way God sees the people on this path that are living apart from him, he says they're like chaff. The part of the grain that's worthless, that's good for nothing. Now, this is a funny thing, because you can see someone living in a big, beautiful home and be a very powerful person in the community and have everything. And we say, wow, look at how much money they have. Look at the position they have. But it's funny, when God looks at them, he says, they're just chaff. To me, they're just chaff. They're nothing. Don't listen to their counsel. Don't go their way. Don't walk on the path that they're on. Because God says they're just going to perish. They're worthless to me. They don't have my favor. When I look at them, I just see something that's dishonoring and has, you know, no real value to me. And I think that's important. And as, you know, you begin to see more and more the reality of this truth. How God sees the man who's rejected him. The man, and you could even be, you know, planning a church. And there's all kinds of ungodly counsel telling you how to plan churches and how to do this and how to do that. And you want to, you know, make your church grow, and you want to do this and you want to do that. And some of these people are very ungodly telling you to do this stuff. You need to ignore it. Because God says it's just chaff. No value to me. This life that this person has chosen this path and that, you know, go this way. And they're not going to be rewarded by God. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So you could have, you know, you could look at this two ways, judgment here on earth or judgment in heaven. They're not going to stand in the bema seat. They're not even going to stand in a place where they could even be rewarded. They're going to go right to the pit, and then hell, and then the great white throne judgment. You and I are going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to give us reward for our service. Well done, good and faithful servant. These people aren't going to even stand in that type of judgment. They're going to, the ungodly, is even though they spread their wings, they spread their wealth, they pomp, and, you know, they seem so powerful, and they have everything in this world, They're like chaff, and they're not going to stand before the Lord and receive any reward from Him, because they totally rejected Him. They lived their life apart from Him. They walked on the path of the ungodly. And then in the last verse, he says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." There is a contrast again. The Lord knows, intimately knows, the righteous. Now, the Bible talks a lot about the conscience. It's a fantastic study to do a study on the conscience. There's the weak consciences. There's the seared conscience. Bad conscience. And conscience with knowledge has to do with the two people that know everything about you and know everything about me. That is, I have knowledge of myself, what I'm really like, and God does. He's the only other person that has full knowledge of my thoughts, my life, your life. Walking with Him, He knows me. I know myself, He knows me. He has intimate knowledge of me. And that is such a blessing. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. What a blessing that He knows me. And I know that He knows me. But He speaks to me, He speaks to you, you know exactly what I mean. And the littlest things, right? It's amazing. The smallest things, He's so concerned. He has every hair on my head numbered. He has every hair on your head numbered. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. He intimately knows you. The Lord intimately knows you. And He approves of you. Because when you sin, you say, "God, forgive me. Change me." And He's actually pleased by you confessing your sin, because He's faithful and just to forgive you. Your part is confessing, His part is being faithful and just. And you're blessed. But He says, but the ungodly are not so, because they're going to perish. They're going to, and this is exactly what Jesus said. He said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not..." Jesus talked about hell too. And this life of this of going apart and walking and heeding the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. It's the end of that life. When you leave, you're going to discover that God didn't approve of any of it. You reject, if a person rejects Him. And Jesus wants you to come there because He wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. But it begins in Christ and it ends in Christ. Coming to Christ so that God might bless you. He might bless your life, and then following Him. This is what the Lord wants. He wants for you. He wants for me. He wants to bless you so that you can bless Him. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. He is so good to me."